The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Now, let's get to the main story of the day. The country is experiencing a national gridlock due to that fuel protest taking place across the country. As we speak, trucks and tractors are continuing to arrive in Dublin City Centre, and they've been taken off from sites around the country, a lot of them parking on O'Connell Street and on the quays. Blake Boland is from Dublin Bus. Blake, I imagine this is causing havoc for bus services in the capital city.
Yes, very much so. Significant disruption at the moment. And it's really focused around O'Connell Street, which is closed in both directions. Now, earlier on today, what we were able to do was divert some buses onto Eden Quay. That was temporarily blocked as well, so we had to reroute again with different diversions. Now, we understand the last few minutes Eden Quay has opened for buses to get through, but there's significant delays in the area because what's happening is, with all the diversions in place, not just for buses, but for private cars and so on, is that the roads around are getting very congested. And it's really slow down not just the routes such as the East Spine, the F Spine, the 19s that use O'Connell Street, but a lot of the other routes in the area as well. So significant delays for sure.
Are you getting any signals or any sign that this may lift anytime soon, or are you expecting this to go on for some time?
Well, there's two sides to that. One, we're not privy to when this is going to end, but it's the knock-on effects as well. So with those delays, where some of our buses are not necessarily traveling, they're just moving through the city very slowly, which creates difficulties. So this bus, even though you might be 10 kilometres away on the outside of the city, the bus can't quite get through the city to get out to you. So it's missing that turnaround time where it would take that trip then back into Dublin. And that's having an impact on the drivers, who, of course, need their brakes and so on as well. So we're expecting this to continue on for a number of hours. And what we're doing is doing our best to get information out to the customers. I think everybody understands that there's significant delays out there. Everybody is sympathetic to that. So what we're trying to do as well is get that information out to customers so they can decide, OK, do I need to make my trip, or what are the alternatives available to me?
OK, all right. Blake Boland, thank you from Dublin Bus. Thank you indeed for talking to the Hard Shoulder. Our reporter, Ellen Butler, is on O'Connell Street. Ellen, who have you been speaking to down there?
Hi, Shane. Yeah, well, certainly a strange sight to see John Deere's and New Holland's rolling down O'Connell Street in Dublin yeah. City Centre. But here they are, yeah, parked up. And we've got about, I would say, about 200, maybe 300 people now watching, I suppose, speeches unfolding on stage here outside the GPO. I've been chatting to all sorts. We've got a mixture of farmers themselves, agri-contractors, hauliers, even some coach drivers as well, some who actually operate school bus routes as well. So it's a mix of people, and their message is kind of quite clear, is that everyone is affected by the fuel crisis. And that's the message they're trying to get across today, that it's not actually just people who buy green diesel, but it's everyone who's affected by what they do, whether it's transporting goods or laying foundations on houses or driving school buses, that it's a society-wide issue we're facing here.
Okay, what's the mood like there?
I would say it was pretty quiet here, Shane. I've been here since early this morning. They blocked off O'Connell Street from, I would say, maybe 12 o'clock, and now it's entirely blocked, as you heard Blake saying there, on both sides. And it's been fairly tame now. There was a bit of a energy injected into them there during speeches. We had a few opposition TDs, Independent Ireland, Sinn Féin, AIM too. So they riled up the crowd a little bit. But it's not the most exciting protest in terms of that side of things, but they seem quite determined. It's hard to know how long they'll stay. Some are saying they'll be here for as long as it takes. Some kind of shrugged and said they'll probably be off home again this evening. So there is a sort of a mix in that sense, but I think they are having their presence felt here today for sure.
Okay, Ellen Butler, News Talk reporter, thank you indeed for reporting from O'Connell Street. We're joined now by James Gagan, spokesperson for the fuels protest. Good afternoon, James, are you there?
Good afternoon, yeah, here, yeah.
Why are you there? Why are you blocking O'Connell Street?
Why are we here? We're here because simply the government won't listen. Like, our representative organisations went to the government last week, had meetings, and the government basically gave them nothing.
Who are like, your representative organisations? Who are you?
Well, you can say today we are actually just individuals on the ground. We are all in organisations, whether it be IFA, Road Haulage Association, other organisations. But like, we're all in this serious situation where we can't afford to keep paying the current price of diesel to do the work that we're doing. And like, our fuel bills are massive. Like, in my, I'm an agricultural contractor. My diesel bill this year over last year is going up between 70 and 90,000 euro. And where are we to get the 97? Where are we to get the money?
That's you're basing that if the price continues at this level for the rest of the year.
Yeah, the current price. We're getting into the busy season there now.
Is that green diesel or is that regular diesel?
That's green diesel.
Okay.
That's
green diesel. So green diesel is up about 60% since the crisis started.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you want the government to do about that? I mean, there's no government in the world that's covering the cost for the increases that are there. Government. There isn't, actually. Which government? Spain aren't covering the cost.
Well, the white diesel in Spain today is 170 a litre.
Yeah, they're not covering the full cost of the increases.
Not the full cost, but we could work at Spanish prices.
Right.
Like we're able to work at 170 for white and 90 cent plus that for green. Apart from the agricultural sector using the volumes of green...
Well, it was 90 cent for green before the crisis began, before the war began. I checked the figures just before coming on air. It was 90 cent. So, I mean, it's not realistic, is it, for the government to cover that entire 60% increase?
Well, it's up to the government, really, because they have two choices here. I'm also in plant hire, and I hire out diggers. We go and we dig out sites. We dig out the sites for houses. We've projects cancelled this week. And the reason they're cancelled is the cost of materials has gone so high that the customers have pulled out of buying the houses. Now, that means our diggers are idle this week.
You're talking about construction?
Yeah, we're in construction as well as agri. Yeah.
Right, because I checked with a few construction sources before coming on air. They say, like, if the war was to continue for many months, it would have a knock-on impact on prices.
Yeah.
But they're saying that the materials that are being used at the moment are the materials that were there before the war, and those prices are unchanged.
All concrete companies sent out an email on the 1st of April, 15% raise in concrete. I have them at home.
Yeah, okay, from 2 days ago.
You just can't run the lorries. Yeah, 2 days ago. So, like, with that sort of raise of material costs, like, I know of builders now who have added 30,000-40,000 onto houses by the time the house is finished.
That figure sounds way too high.
It sounds crazy. It sounds crazy.
And I checked that figure with construction sources, and they said that was way higher than their calculations. They said for example, I mean, materials isn't 100% of the cost. Materials would be what, about 50% of the cost of construction.
Yeah, but like, even the labour, like the guys in the vans going to work, they're all putting up the rates to cover the cost of running the van. Like, I was talking to a man in Dublin today, and his fuel bill a week, he says, nearly not worthwhile going to work anymore. But like, I know I have had two new one-off houses cancelled in the last 2 weeks. And they were to start, and now the people have pulled on them.
Okay.
So that means we didn't dig those foundations. And if we don't dig the foundations, then there's no concrete. The whole economy, the whole building boom is going to slow down.
There's no question if the war continues, it is going to have a knock-on impact on construction. I think what people in the construction industry are saying at the moment is it's too early to talk about big knock-on effects at this point. Can I ask you, what about people in Dublin? What about the Dublin traders whose business is going to be down by 10 or 20% today? Are they not entitled to do business as well? How is this protest helping them?
If the government had listened last week to the organisations who were in with them, this protest wouldn't have happened today.
Well, it's interesting because those organisations you're talking about, they're not actually supporting this. I mean, there might be individual members there, but the IFA aren't formally part of it. The hauliers aren't formally part of it. And they have been talking to government. And there was a package, just to finish the point, and I will let you respond then. There was a package a couple of weeks ago to the tune of 250 million euros. That was taken after consultation with those groups. And the government has said they may revisit that.
Yes, the Hall Association did get a good deal, and fair play to them. And I use those hauliers in my business. I hire hauliers. Those hauliers were members of that association. On their bills last week, on their invoices for March, there was a 15% fuel surcharge added to my bill. So I also sell machinery and I pay haulage for deliveries. my courier cost using those hauliers has gone through the roof for the last 2 months.
Okay.
I import machines from Spain.
No, look, there's no doubt things are tough. I suppose my last question to you would be, like, what mandate have you got to shut down the city centre? And it's not the first time that you've been involved in a protest that has shut down the city centre. I think you were on the one in 2020 as well. Like, what mandate do you have? You know what I mean? Who's saying to you, do that in my name?
Well, it wasn't me that organised this.
I accept it, but you're a spokesperson. So when I say you, I don't mean I don't mean you personally. I mean the people who are there. What is the mandate?
Well, the mandate is just the person on the ground who is hurting, and everybody's hurt with the price of fuel, and the government could do a lot more on the price of fuel, and they haven't done it. If the government had done what they were asked to do last week, this wouldn't have happened today. But the government are not listening to anybody.
And just very finally, what are you asking them to do specifically?
Well, as contractors, we're all full time investing in our fleet and our machines. We are now putting a hold on new purchases, new machines that are on order, because with the high price of fuel, we won't be able to meet the payments on new machines. So we're stopping the purchase of the machines. If the government could set a price on diesel, and then we know where we stand.
A price cap. Like,
for example,
a price cap. Yes. Now, economists say a price cap is a really blunt instrument, and all it does is benefit the wealthier at the expense of the less well-off.
Well, not in the case of agriculture diesel that's been used in the agriculture game. Because my bill going up 70 grand, where am I to get it? I can't pass that on to farmers, and I don't have it myself to put in. So what are we to do with our farmers? I have actually told farmers this week that when we cut silage for them, their bills will be going up 10,000 to 20,000, depending on how much they cut.
Okay.
And they're in shock. They're in absolute shock. So where are we going to get the money?
Very briefly, how long are you going to stay there, James?
Well, there's a lot of people here who say they're not going home until they get some engagement with government. And what we're asking is for the ministers to contact some of the people here and arrange a meeting, have a meeting, and put some plan in place that we can see a bit of light at the end of the tunnel.
At
the minute, we can see no light at the end of the tunnel. Like, there's men going out of business.
No, you've made that point. I appreciate you speaking to us, James. James Gagan there, spokesperson for the Fuels protest. Let us know what you think.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.